The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is called We Love Our Dad, and it is a story for a special day that happens every June. And do you know what it is? It always happens on a Sunday, and it's always the third Sunday of June. It's Father's Day. And this is the Berenstain Bears again, and how they show their love for their dad, especially on Father's Day. Sister, brother, and honey loved their papa. They loved him very much. After all, he was always there for them. He baited their hooks when they went fishing. He threw them fly balls when they played catch. He was their sled puller on the way to the top of Dead Bear Hill. He carried them on his shoulders when they got tired and rushed them to the doctor when they were hurt. He told them funny stories and corny jokes. He read to them at bedtime, tucked them in, and kissed them good night. Yes, the cubs certainly loved their Papa Bear, but sometimes they took him a bit for granted. After all, he was always there. They never even noticed some of the things he did, like working. Papa worked very hard. He worked in his shop all day long, making furniture. He worked fixing things up around the house. He worked doing chores like mowing the lawn or shoveling snow or taking out the trash. It's true that Papa enjoyed working, but he enjoyed getting credit for it sometime, too. One warm spring day, not long after Mother's Day, the cubs were talking about what they should do for Father's Day. Mama was listening to them nearby. "Let's make Papa a big family album with pictures of us doing stuff with him," said Sister. "We just gave Mama an album like that for Mother's Day," said Brother. "Oh, yeah," said Sister. Honey Bear was looking out the window, watching Papa mowing the lawn. "Papa working," she said. Remember, Honey Bear is a little sister. Just a little more, like she's a toddler. Not quite a baby anymore, but not as big as the other two. "What's that, honey?" asked Mama. "Papa working," said Honey, pointing. "Hmm," said Mama. Honey just had a good idea. "She did?" said Brother and Sister. "Yes," said Mama. "Your Papa works very hard. It would be a nice gift if you cubs did his jobs for him on Father's Day and let him relax." Now that they thought about it, it was true. Papa did work all the time. He could use a rest. "Way to go, Honey Bear," said Sister and Brother, giving her high fives. The cubs decided to make gift certificates so that their Papa Bear could cash in for jobs that they would do. All that day they followed him around, spying on him. They checked off the jobs he did on a clipboard. "Carrying wood," said Sister. "Carrying wood, check," said Brother. "Check," said Honey. "Painting the garage," said Sister. "Painting the garage, check," said Brother. "Check," said Honey. "Replacing loose tree bark on the treehouse," said Sister. "Replacing loose tree bark, check," said Brother. "Check," said Honey. The cubs followed Papa the next day, too. They didn't put furniture making on their list because they didn't know how to make furniture. But they did check off things like trimming the rose bushes, putting up fence rails, and cleaning out the basement. That evening, they made a gift certificate for each job. There was one for 1. Wash the car, 1. Help plant the grass, 1. Help clean out the workshop, 1 for taking out the trash, 1 for cleaning the attic, and another 1 for mowing the lawn. They could not wait for Father's Day to arrive so that they could surprise him with their very special gift. On Father's Day, the cubs woke up bright and early. They waited until nearly 6 a.m. before running into Mama and Papa's room and jumping on the bed. "Happy Father's Day, Papa," they yelled. "Huh? What?" said Papa sleepily. "Is it Father's Day?" "Of course it is," said the cubs. "Open your present." They gave him a big envelope. Papa thought it was a card. "Why, thank you," he said. But when he opened it, the gift certificate spilled out. "What's this?" he asked. "They're gift certificates you cash in for us to do your jobs," exclaimed Brother. "You just can relax all day." "What a thoughtful gift," said Papa. "It was Honey's idea," said Sister. "Thank you, Honey," said Papa, giving all his thoughtful cubs a very big hug. "I think I'd like to spend the day just watching baseball," said Papa. "It's Father's Day," said Mama. "You can do whatever you like." "Wow," said Papa, settling down in his easy chair in front of the TV. "I could get used to this." Papa cashed in his gift certificates, and the cubs set to work. Their first job was to washing their car. They got out buckets, soap, cloths, and the garden hose. They scrubbed and washed and rinsed, but the car still seemed a little dirty. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need more elbow grease, and I'll show you." So Papa and the cubs scrubbed and washed and rinsed together. When they were done, the car was bright and clean and shiny. Now, were they really letting their papa rest when they made him come out and help them? "Now you go and relax now," said Papa, said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." Their next job was cleaning up the wood chips in Papa's shop. They got out dustpans, brooms, and a shop vacuum, but set to work. They swept and cleaned and vacuumed. But, the shop still looked a little dirty. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need to give it more oomph, and I'll show you how." So Papa and the cubs swept and cleaned and vacuumed together. When they were done, the shop was spick and span. "You go and relax now," Papa said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." Their next job was spreading grass seed on the bare spots in the lawn. The cubs got out rakes and bags of seed. Brother raked the hard-packed earth, while Sister and Honey spread the seed. But they soon got tired. There was still a lot of bare spots left. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you come help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need more muscle power, and I'll show you how." So Papa and the cubs raked and spread the seed. When they were done, every bare spot on the lawn was covered with new seed. "You go and relax now, Papa," said the cubs. "We'll do the rest." But Papa shook his head. "Actually," he said, "I'm getting bored just watching TV. It's more fun doing things with you. What shall we do next?" "How about a game of baseball?" said Brother. "Perfect," said Papa. So the whole family played ball. Brother, Sister, and Honey took turns pitching, batting, and fielding. Papa was the catcher, and Mama was the ump. A wonderful Father's Day was had by all. At bedtime, the cubs took turns jumping off their beds onto a big cushion. "It isn't fair," said Brother as Papa helped him into his PJs. "There's a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. Why isn't there a Cubs Day?" Papa smiled at Mama's bear. "I haven't the faintest idea," he said. Mama and Papa tucked the cubs in and turned out the light. "Did you have a good day, Father's Day, Papa?" asked Sister. "Yes, sweetie," said Papa, kissing her, Brother, and Honey goodnight. "The best Father's Day ever." And that is the end of that story about Father's Day. Now, what do you think? Did Papa really get his chores done by the kids? Or he had to help them with everyone, didn't he? But I think he sort of liked doing that. He liked to be wanted by his kids. Well, that's the end of that story. So let's go on to the next one. The next book is called Margaret's Unicorn by Brienne May Smith. Here we go. Margaret was a little girl. And who's talking now? "My whole world changed when we moved to a faraway place, to a cottage in the mountains, to be near Grandma. Everything smelled different and strange, and the house was full of empty spaces." That first afternoon, Dad said, Margaret, why don't you go exploring? By the time you come back, your new room will look just like your old room, I promise. Mom put some hot chocolate in a thermos. Be careful not to go further than the big stone, she said. And she gave me a kiss. When I reached the big stone at the end of our garden, I saw the sea spread out before me. A heavy fog was traveling through the sky, and soon the water was covered in mist. No, it wasn't mist. It was clouds. No, they weren't clouds. They were white horses. No, not horses, but unicorns. They were leaping into the air, swept up by the wind. And then, in a blink, they were gone. There the sky is full of many, many beautiful white unicorns running along in the sky. I started to run back to tell Mom and Dad when I heard a snuffling noise. I tiptoed closer and looked. Down a little dip where something silvery lay tangled in the weeds. A baby, I gasped. Carefully, I freed him and then wrapped him in my coat. When I got home, Grandma was at the door. I think it's a baby unicorn. Yes, it is a baby unicorn. When I got home, Grandma was at the door. She'd come by to help us unpack. I didn't think there were any left, she said. I told her all about the herd that had flown past me. When I was a girl, she said, smiling, we would watch the unicorns fly off to Unicorn Island on the last summer wind. Grandma told me everything she knew about unicorns. They only eat flowers, but there aren't enough here to feed them all year round. Every year I would wait for them to come back to eat the young heather and thistles that grow across the mountains. I looked out our cottage window. There were hardly any flowers to be seen. It was just mountains and rock and grass and stone fences. And so we needed flowers. What should we feed him? I asked. Grandma thought for a moment. Let's go, she said. We jumped into a car and headed to town. At a small shop, we bought bunches of flowers for my unicorn. There he is. He's so little and cute, just like a baby pony. When we got home, we fed him. What do unicorns drink? I asked Grandma. Water that has been touched by moonlight, she explained. It's what makes their horns glow in the dark. It's what gives them their magic. I stroked my unicorn's mane, and Grandma and I fished pillows out of the moving boxes to make him a cozy nest near my bed. After Mom and Dad had finished unloading the boxes, they came in to find us with my little unicorn. Mom knelt beside him, and he nuzzled her hand. What a cute little thing that is. That night, Dad and I pulled on our boots and headed out to the hills. As the moon touched the stream, we filled buckets with water and carried them home. The water glowed in our dark garage. My unicorn drank as we watched him. Amazed. When I went to sleep, I let the little unicorn climb into bed with me, and I stroked his speckled coat. My unicorn whimpered. I was so excited to have found him, but I had forgotten how scared he must be. It's okay, I whispered. Spring will be back in no time. The next day, my unicorn and I went for a walk. We crunched through the leaves and caught them as they floated down from the trees. I picked up a horse chestnut, opened it carefully, and touched its soft inside, which felt like a little fairy fur coat. That evening we watched the stars come out before heading to bed. They seemed so much brighter here than in our old town. By the time all the trees were bare, my little unicorn had grown comfortable in our cottage. One of our favorite things to do was to go to the beach and chase the waves. The white foam looked like unicorns rolling and disappearing into the sandy shore. Then we'd race home with cold fingers and cold toes and cold hooves. A fire, I'd tell my unicorn, is the best way to cozy up. And there they are, all cozy in front of the fire. We'd curl up together and listen to the rain tap, tap, tapping on the window. Isn't that the loveliest sound? At Christmas, we decorated the tree, and the house was filled with smells of our own home. Gingerbread cookies, turkey basting, caramel fudge, a Christmas cake, the smell of the Christmas tree, the smell of fur. When it snowed for the first time, my unicorn was dazzled by it and by how quiet everything became. We walked down the road and stomped on frozen puddles. Together we made a snow unicorn. Dad broke off an icicle that hung from the roof, and we gave that little snow unicorn a crystal horn. I was missing our old home less and less. The weather grew warmer, and I saw buds appear on the trees and green shoots start to push up through the ground. Yellow gorse and dandelion flowers started to bloom on the hills. Soon I knew my unicorn's family would come back, and he would leave. When a unicorn is your friend, you wish that spring would stay far away. Now there were lots of flowers out for the unicorn to have to eat. On the first day of spring, as we sat on the hill, the unicorns floated down from the sky like snowflakes, and there they all go again. Slowly, one of them, with chocolate brown eyes and a soft pink nose, drew close. My unicorn skipped towards her and leaned against her white coat. He nuzzled her cheek. I knew that this must be his mother. It was time to say goodbye to my unicorn. "Please don't forget me," I whispered into a sick, silky ear as I hugged him tightly. There she's giving a great big hug. She's very sad. Now spring has come and gone, and the days have grown longer. I've made some new friends, but I do still miss my unicorn. One day we went walking over the hills, Mom and Dad and Grandma, my friend Abby and me. As Abby and I were searching for bugs in the tall grass, something nudged my arm, and I turned in surprise. It was my unicorn. He had grown so much already, and he'd lost his baby coat. When he raised his head, he was taller than I, wild and beautiful. I plucked a sprig of heather from its stem and held out my palm. Cautiously, my unicorn ate it from my hand, watching me with dark eyes. His ears flicked back and forth, listening to all around him. I wanted to reach out and to touch him. He took one more flower, and then he must have heard something, or maybe I moved too quickly, because he turned and galloped away in an instant. I scrambled a few paces after him and watched him disappear into the mountains. He was gone. I turned to Abby, who looked on in amazement. "That was an old friend," I said. Mom called. It was time to head home, through the heather and the thistles, to our cottage in the mountains. The end. That was a lovely story, I think. A really nice story. This story is called Scaredy Boo. Under the bed lived a monster named Scaredy Boo. Boo was afraid of everything. He would have been scared of you. Each night, the other small monsters raced around the house having fun. Though all the children were sleeping, Boo feared they'd wake up someone. Boo sighed. "I'm frightened of big things, small things, and wiggly things, too. I'm little Scaredy Boo monster. Wouldn't these things scare you?" Scaredy Boo didn't like noises, things that went crackle or squeak. Hearing strange whispers and rustles made poor Boo's legs get all weak. Late one night, Boo heard loud footsteps. "Help! Something's out there," he said. "Hello," the thing called. "You hiding?" It peeked at Boo under the bed. Scaredy Boo trembled. "Who are you? I jump when someone shouts, 'Boo!' I'm Scaredy Boo Monster. Wouldn't you be scared, too?" "Why are you scared?" smiled the stranger. I'm Spike, a monster like you. Come out and let's play together, playing what monsters do." Poor Boo felt ever so worried. He'd never been out before. Nighttime was all dark and scary. Creakety creak, creaked the floor. "Come on," Spike called to Boo kindly. "Let's play with all of these toys." "Shh," Scaredy whispered. "The children. You'll wake them with all of this noise." Boo saw a huge black shape looming. Oh, what a terrible sight. "Help," he cried, diving for cover. And there he sat, shaking with fright. Scaredy Boo stuttered. "What is that? I jump when someone shouts Boo. I'm little Scaredy Boo monster. Wouldn't you be scared, too?" "That's just your shadow," Spike told Boo. "Everyone has one. Look, see?" Scaredy Boo felt a little bit silly. "All I was scared of was me." "Help! There's a twitchety thing," Boo gasped. Spike grinned. "It's only a mouse." "Oh, it's quite friendly," Boo giggled. "I like exploring this house." Scaredy Boo met all of the monsters. "It's so much playing," he said. "So much fun playing," he said. "Thank you, Spike. I'm glad you found me. It's lonely there under the bed." "Whee!" From a shelf dropped a spider. Scaredy Boo's fur stood on end. "I still don't like spiders," Boo giggled. "They scare me, too," laughed his friend. Boo shouted, "Let's play tomorrow. It's so exciting and new." "Shh!" all his monster friends whispered. "You're noisy now, little Boo." And that's the end of that story. Isn't that cute about the monster being scared, even though he was a monster? Our next story is called Underpants, Thunderpants. One day when the weather is sunny and fine, Dog hangs his underpants on the line. But thunder and lightning soon fill up the sky. Underpants, thunderpants, look at them fly. Over the ocean, the jungle, and town. Where will those undies come fluttering down? "How odd," said the submarine captain below. "First I saw lightning, and now I see snow." Octopus wiggles and jiggles with glee. Four pairs of underpants. Perfect for me. Underpants, thunderpants. Just imagine that. Roger the pirate has got a new hat. Elephant's trunk has been tickled by bees. "Oh, bother," he grumbles. "I'm going to sneeze. But I don't have a tissue. What shall I do?" "A jumbo-sized hanky. How dandy. Achoo!" It's a really big pair of purple underpants. "Watch it. A hunter is out on the snoop. Underpants. Blunderpants. Splat in poop." Uh-oh, that made him fall down right into big elephant poop. Up at the palace, the king says, "Oh, my, 3 pairs of underpants baked in my pie? Ooh," a two-headed alien stares from his lair. "Underpants, wonderpants, now I'm not bare." And there is a strange-looking little alien with a pair of white underpants, one head sticking out of one leg hole, and the other head is sticking out another leg hole, and they're very happy because now they have a shirt to wear. And that's the end of that very silly story. And here is another short story, very short story, in fact, called The Party Zoo. Every evening, the zookeeper closed up the zoo for the night and went to bed in his zookeeper's hut. And every night there was peace and quiet in the zoo. Except tonight. "Let's have a party," said Monkey, just as the zookeeper had gone to bed. All the other animals thought it was a wonderful idea. "There's a lot to organize," said Monkey, feeling very excited. Everyone had an important job to do. The baboon band practiced their music, and the penguins made iced drinks. At last, the party could begin, and what a party it was. The penguins and the dolphins had a belly flop competition and drenched the leopards next door. Monkey fired party poppers as he swung through the trees, and the giraffe danced to the baboon band's music. The music got louder and louder and louder until it woke that zookeeper up. He peered out of his bedroom window and couldn't believe his eyes. The ostrich was doing the hokey-pokey with the hippo. That must have been silly. And the tigers and lions were paying past the parcel. "I must be dreaming," said the zookeeper. "And it's a very good dream. I hope I don't wake up." And he hurried back to bed as fast as he could. In the morning, the zoo was very quiet. All the animals were sound asleep after the party. The zookeeper thought about his dream as he swept the paths. And then he saw something lying under the tree where Monkey was going to sleep. It was a party popper. "If I didn't know better, I'd think my dream was real," chuckled the zookeeper. And as he drifted off to sleep, Monkey smiled a mischievous little smile. And that's the end of that little story. Now, we only have a little time left, and we're going to finish off with some poems, some of which you'll know, about sleep and nighttime and bedtime and the stars in the sky. And, of course, we all know Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. When the blazing sun is gone, when he nothing shines upon, then you show your little light. Twinkle, twinkle, all the night. Bed in summer. In winter, I get up at night and dress by yellow candlelight. In summer, quite the other way, I have to go to bed by day. That's true, isn't it? Golden slumbers. Golden slumbers kiss your eyes. Smiles awake you when you rise. Sleep, pretty baby, do not cry. And I will sing you a lullaby. And by the way, slumber is sleeping, another word for sleeping. Bedtime. Evening is coming, the sun sinks to rest. The rooks are all flying straight home to the nest. "Caw," says the rook as he flies overhead. "It's time, little people, we're going to bed." A rook is like a crow. It is a crow, actually. Red sky at night. Red sky at night, shepherds delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherds take warning. Now the day is over, night is drawing nigh. Shadows of the evening steal across the sky. Now the darkness gathers, stars begin to peep. Birds and beasts and flowers soon will be asleep. Boys and girls come out to play. The moon does shine as bright as day. Leave your supper and leave your sleep and join your playfellows in the street. Come with a whoop and come with a call. Come with a good will or not at all. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thanks for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.